Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey. It is a pleasure to be with you today. And we have a wonderful episode of Mom Talk Radio. As usual, we've got doctors, authors, all kinds of guests who are going to educate us on all kinds of topics. Before we jump into our first guest, though, I want to quickly mention our sponsor, Premama. Premama, at drinkpremama.com, you'll find all the information about this great prenatal vitamin that you can drink. It's a powder form. And if you struggle to take giant horse pills or don't even take a vitamin at all, check out drinkpremama.com. And it is filled with doctor-recommended vitamins and nutrients that are so good for you and your baby. And they also offer formulas for fertility and lactation, and they also offer a digestive aid. So it's basically a line of products for your complete maternity wellness. And you can also find Premama at CVS, Target, Amazon, and specialty vitamin stores. As a matter of fact, I think I was in a vitamin shop the other day and I saw Drink Premama on the shelf. So it's a great alternative. Please check it out and also follow them on social, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And now we are in the middle of January. We are back in the swing of school and work, and holiday vacations are over. My kids just went back only a week ago, but I have a friend up in Georgia, East Coast, and she said they had gone back like January 4th. So I was pretty surprised about that, but I guess every school district and state are different. So, but my kids are kind of getting back in the swing of it. And I have a senior in high school, and we, over the holidays, did all kinds of college applications. So it's a very bittersweet, but exciting time for him. So we're really excited. And now we bite our nails and wait to see, wait for the, used to be, they came in the mail, your letters of acceptance, but now you get an email, I believe, or you check the website anyway. So we'll be the next few weeks anxiously waiting for some acceptance letters. And this week, actually, I did some funny checking before we started the show. I did a couple of fun holiday, look for some fun holidays, fun or funky holidays. And of course, this week is, this Monday is, and or was, depending on when you're listening, Martin Luther King Day. So federal holiday, most of us, or many of us might have had work off. Hope you enjoyed it. And then, interestingly enough, this is a funny one. I found the 17th of January, it's Ditch New Year's Resolutions Day, which is awesome because guess what happens on the 18th? Especially in Florida and probably the Southeast region, it's Girl Scout cookie sales start. So if you ditch your resolutions on the 17th, buy some Girl Scout cookies on the 18th. And I, being a Girl Scout cookie mom from my daughter's troop, would really like you to buy some cookies. So hopefully you can support your Girl Scouts. And there's also a really great option for those of you who really don't want to eat the cookies. There is a military program, Support the Military, Cookies for the Military, it's called, CFM. So you can basically donate money to any Girl Scout you see to buy cookies that they do ship directly to our servicemen and women. So that's a great option. And then the 18th of January is Winnie the Pooh Day. And the only reason I mention that is, as a mom, that was my son, who's now going almost 18. That was his decor theme in his nursery. So if any mom knows, is a Winnie the Pooh fan, it's A.A. Milne's birthday on the 18th. He's obviously the author of Winnie the Pooh. And then for Maria Bailey's sake, our esteemed host, the 19th of January is National Popcorn Day. Maria is crazy obsessive about popcorn. So in our office and the Mom Talk Radio staff, we're trying to figure out a way to celebrate that for her because she is crazy about popcorn. So with that said, happy January. We're going to take a quick break. We're welcoming our first guest, Dr. Ed Carlton. He is the author of The Answer. It's actually an interesting discussion about retraining your brain through a method called neurofeedback. He's going to give us some great information about that. Stay with us.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Mary and for Maria, and I'm pleased to welcome our first guest, Dr. Ed Carlton. He is the author of the book, The Answer, and this is going to be a really intriguing discussion because we're talking about Dr. Carlton's brain training method known as neurofeedback, which has helped patients who suffer from the things like ADD, ADHD, bipolar disorder, PTSD, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Carlton.
Thank you for having me.
So it's the age-old question, you know, we put kids on drugs for ADD, ADHD, and other things, but then even adults who have PTSD and different other brain disorders. What's your take on that?
I myself was on medications for many years because I've been bipolar since I was a child. And I can tell you that after 22 years of being on it, they never resolved my issue. I still had to take them every day. And every 6 months to a year, I had to change the prescription because my brain kept breaking through the medications. So we always had to change. They call it a drug cocktail. That's what they call it when you're bipolar. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts are there's other ways. I was always looking for a better way to do it, and that's where neurofeedback training comes in.
And how did you get to the point where you said, I'm going to learn about neurofeedback?
I am a chiropractor. We go to professional symposiums. We have to do continuing education credits. And at one of the symposiums, they were sponsoring this, and I learned about it there. They were doing a talk on it, and I did a trial run, and I was very impressed. And I subsequently went on, learned about it, and now offered in my office.
Okay. So you can obviously speak from experience as well.
Yeah.
So explain it then. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What does neurofeedback training do, and how do you, and give us an idea too about age ranges. Is it appropriate for children or et cetera?
It's a fairly complex topic to cover briefly, but I'll do my best. You can start as early as the age of 6. You can extend. My oldest patient that I ever treated is 94. Most of my patients coming in for 6 are just what we're talking about, ADD, ADHD, autism, those types of challenges. The older folks are coming in for cognitive decline. Mm-hmm. The way neurofeedback training works is it's just, as you said, training of the brain. First, we do a brain map using what's called an electroencephalogram. Most people are familiar with what an EEG is. Even if they've never experienced it, they've heard of them. So with that information, we can actually measure how someone's brain is working in real time. Just as you can go to a personal trainer and get your body checked to find out where it's strong and where it's weak, a trainer can design a protocol exercise regimen to improve that. Just like everybody's doing this time of year, right?
Right.
Well, the same thing could be done with the equipment in a neurofeedback training office. We can measure how your brain is working. We can determine where it's going too fast, where it's going too slow. And with that information, an exercise regimen for the brain can be designed. Now, the difference between what you do in a neurofeedback training session and physical exercise is we're exercising the brain. So think about it this way. Once we have a map and we know how the brain works, then we sit you down, and in our office, we use videos to focus the brain. So a person sits comfortably in a nice leather chair, comfortable room, and they pick a video to watch. I give my office manager a hard time. She likes to watch Grey's Anatomy. It's popular with ladies. She's a 40-year-old lady. She's happy with that. It doesn't really matter what you watch. The key is, as long as the person is interested, we can use the brain's focus on the video screen to help the brain train and learn how to think better. So the way it works is this. While someone is sitting in the office watching the video, we have sensors on their scalp. Now, I want to be clear, we're not putting anything in. We're simply measuring brainwave output. Mm-hmm. But based on that output, we're comparing the output while they're watching the video to what we want it to be, what will be normal. For example, someone who suffers with ADHD, they would have their brain would cycle up. It would go too fast, if you will. Okay, when it goes too fast, I measure that on my sensors, and the screen goes dim, and the sound goes down on the video that they're watching. This happens hundreds of times during a training session. So what happens is the brain over time learns to stay below that threshold where the movie goes dim and the sound goes down. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Just like learning how to ride a bike. When you first got on the bike, you're kind of wobbly, you lean too far right or too far left, you fall over. After a while, you learn to stay in the middle. The brain's an amazing thing. If you give it proper help, it will learn to stay within the limits. And the key to neurofeedback training is it's each program is custom designed for the individual. They're done in real time, so it's how your brain is actually working, so it takes into account where you are today, not just where you were 2 weeks ago. So it's a highly powerful way to change how the brain thinks over a long period.
That was my question, actually. So that you answered it already. Is this something that, you know, in terms of, and how long does it take for that training?
The average number of sessions in my office is about 30. Okay. The number of sessions is usually about twice a week, although I treat patients with panic disorder, and we will do it more often initially to calm them down.
Right.
Eliminate the panic disorder so that they can function. But normally, training sessions are done twice weekly. They're 30 minutes long. And after about 3 weeks, six sessions, most people start noticing that if they're suffering, they start getting calmer. If their child is ADHD, they start seeing that they're calmer. The neat thing is there are no side effects because we're not putting anything in.
It's drug-free.
We're simply measuring and exercising the brain using its natural ability to learn. The term is called operant conditioning. But bottom line is everybody's familiar with how to learn how to, you know, do anything new. You practice it, right? Same thing here. The brain practices more efficient ways of thinking, and over time it learns to think like that even when you're not in the training session. The next question most people ask is, are the results long-term? And the answer is yes. Just as you remember how to ride a bike, at least I do, most people do, your brain takes these new pathways, because that's what happens, it develops new pathways, and it uses these long, long after your last training session.
Right. So there's no, there's, again, it's drug free. There's not, it's just monitors or leads on your, you know, not leads, but
sensors.
Yeah. What are your success rates then?
For ADD, ADHD, there are numerous studies out there that show neurofeedback training is, there's a list of five different categories, one being the worst, five being the best. And neurofeedback training is the only one out there listed as a five as far as effective and specific for ADD and ADHD, more effective than medications that are on the market today. And there are many studies out there that can show that.
Okay, great. Dr. Carlton, you have your book, The Answer, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you mentioned for free on your website, CarltonNeurofeedbackCenter.com, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us. Very interesting discussion. And I know a lot of parents would say, you know, to opt the drug-free method. This is probably a good topic. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. And when we come back, we're joined by Mrs. Kathy King. We're going to shine the spotlight on moms. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. It's the Spotlight on Moms. We're talking to Mrs. Kathy King. She's the mom of three children, 19, 17, and four, quite a gap. And she blogs at MrsKathyKing.com and tweets at Mrs. Kathy King. And we have worked together on Mom Select projects. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you. So we have worked together. I know you have a very thriving blog and social media presence. So tell our listeners a little bit about when you started blogging and why you started blogging first.
When I first started blogging, I had just left a corporate job. I was a senior account executive for an internet-based company selling online advertising. And I originally started blogging just to save money. So it was a hobby, and I would share different coupon. It was a coupon site where I would share different deals with my friends. However, about 2 years in, I was blessed to do my first press trip with Disney, and that changed everything into where the direction of the site started to go towards entertainment. And then flashback into 2018 that we're in, and now the site not only does children entertainment, we also offer party planning, recipes, and fun things for kids to do around LA.
Oh, that's wonderful. So party planning, and so do you have like printables on this site? Those are awesome.
Yes, I thank you. I'm blessed to have a husband that's an award-winning graphic designer.
So lucky.
After I started doing movie entertainment, we would check online and see where printables would be really expensive. And my husband's like, you know, if it's not licensed, they really shouldn't do it. So we started doing free printables on a lot of the latest movies. Last year, actually, we were blessed to do exclusive projects with Sony to do fun party printables for Smurfs, The Lost Village. We also did printables for the Emoji Movie and created custom 3D ornaments for the Star Movie last year.
Wow, that is awesome.
That was
what a great partnership too. You've got the vehicle, and he's got the graphic arts degree or design degree to background rather and talent to do that. That's just wonderful.
So do you
have tips for other moms who want to blog and, you know, offer services like that to their businesses or consumers?
Yes. You know, my thing is that with blogging, you always have to reinvent yourself because life is continuously changing. The industry is completely changing. So what helped me do party planning and custom printables is as I grew my blog, we started identifying what our strengths were, and we started integrating that into our site. So I always tell other bloggers, look at what your strength is. I know one blogger is really into health and wellness, and she's good at planning out menus. So now she offers a consulting on meal planning to other moms that want to lose weight. If you're a crafter and you love crafting, then you can always sell on Etsy. So the first tip is look for your strengths and see how you can incorporate it into your website. The second tip is do it step by step, because when you're running a blog, there's so many moving parts, it can be overwhelming. So make very small goals. So if you're a crafter, make a goal to maybe make one afghan or one, you know, party favor for the week. If you do health and wellness, just make small plans, because those small plans will lead to the bigger goals that you have set.
Right.
And
very, very good point.
And last but not least, the third tip is enjoy it. Make it fun. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not enjoyable, you're not going to be able to keep going when the blog is not as enjoyable.
Right.
And they say, what's the
old cliche, do what you love.
Yes, do what you love, which I didn't understand at first until working on the site for over 8 years. Now I get it.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've really actually been a very savvy businesswoman addition, because you've recognized that you do need to keep growing and evolving in within the blog and the content. So congratulations on the success. And
Thank you.
Of course, and as you said, taking it in small pieces also helps, because you're a busy mom of three kids. That's also a separate full-time job, as we all know. So your blog again is MrsKathyKing.com, Kathy with a K, and you tweet at Mrs. Kathy King. I encourage our listeners to check it out. It's a pleasure speaking with you, Kathy. And when we return after this quick break, we're joined by Maribel Zisch. She is actually going to be talking about money. She's a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual, and we'll be talking about money for not only us, but how to teach it to our daughters. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
And now we're going to talk about money. Money, particularly when it comes to what moms and daughters need to know. And I'm joined by Maribel Zisch. She is a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual. She's been with the company since 2007, a nice long career. You had a career in corporate sales before that. But welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Maribel.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I think most, but a lot of women, moms, were so busy. And if someone else handles the finances in the house, we just kind of go, yeah, you know, we're paying the bills. But when it comes to really knowing about financial matters, what are the basics, the most important basics that moms need to know and then also share with their daughters?
Well, I think for moms, if it happens to be your partner or your spouse that's in charge of the finances, just having an end of year conversation, maybe during the holiday break, just asking them once a year to sit down, hopefully with their financial advisor. But if they don't have one and they're doing it themselves, just sit down and go over what are our basic budget expenses. You know, what does it cost for the mortgage? What are we spending, you know, for certain things? Insurance. Do we have life insurance? Do we have these things? Because I'm always surprised when I do talk with moms and women sometimes how little they know or how quick they are to defer to their spouses for these things.
Right.
Yet, you know, they don't, it's their children too. It's their household as well. So taking more ownership of those things and not just, and to be frank with you, it's a lot to expect your spouse to do if they're the ones out there working as well as paying attention to all of these things. It's a lot to expect of them. It's a lot of pressure on them. So taking ownership of that, I think, can make a huge difference, or being a part of it, not necessarily being responsible all of a sudden, but at least being a part of the process. I think for kids,
exactly.
It's really basic. I know with my children, I think it's really important to teach them what things really cost, from a Venti, you know, vanilla bean at Starbucks, to a new pair of shoes, and so they can see how far money really goes. I think a lot of times the big mistake we make is we're not transparent with our kids about money. We just kind of buy them things, and we don't really have conversations with them about what these things actually cost. And so what I've done with my young children when they were young was give them a basic allowance that I felt was enough for them to buy a Starbucks or a special treat once a week, so that when we were out and about, if they wanted something, if it wasn't a basic need, I wasn't paying for it. So they had to really think twice before, oh, do I really want to spend $5 on a Starbucks, or maybe do I get a tall instead of Venti? You know, silly things like that, but it really does start those, you know, healthy spending habits early, and it can help them to feel like they have some control over money and cultivate kind of a balance between, you know, planning and living, you know?
Right. Well, and again, you're teaching the value of that dollar, because then if they get that drink and then they go to next door and they go to, like, my 11-year-old was just in Claire's the other day. And I said, be careful, because we have two other stops. And if you see something in Claire's and you're going to spend all your money, it's not going to, that's it. I'm not buying anymore, you know? And we just came off the holidays. I said, you don't need anything else. This is ridiculous. So, but that's a good point. And also teaching needs versus wants, as you said, you know, parents will take care of your needs, but if you want something, it's up to you.
Yeah. And I think that's actually so funny, Sha, because my daughter's 12 and she loves Claire and the fake nails and the whole thing. And we had that same exact conversation with all of her Christmas money, making sure she was thinking through other things that she wanted on her list before she spent all her money in one place. So that's kind of
right. Mine's 11. So I get that conversation. what age do you think a child could get a debit card?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually started that with my son. So my son's the older one, and I started his freshman year of high school. He just started high school, and I decided that this was going to be the time for him to get a bigger monthly allowance. So, you know, again, every family's different. I choose a $75 a month budget, but I literally don't buy him anything other than, you know, underwear, socks. You know, if he's growing out of a pair of jeans, great, I'll get you one pair of jeans. I literally buy him the very, very basics. If he wants fancy hair stuff, because my son likes to look in the mirror, if you know what I mean, fancy stuff for his face, a facial, whatever. He has to pay for it himself, more than a haircut once a month, you know, those kinds of things.
Right.
And it's great because there are banks out there that have, you know, the ability to have bank accounts for minors. They don't have overdraft. They have overdraft protection, so they can't overspend or make huge financially bad mistakes. But it allows them to start understanding what it costs just to be out and about and live a life. Go to the, you know, go grab a Starbucks, go to McDonald's with your friends, go out to eat, go to the movies. And honestly, it's less pressure on me because I'm not getting the daily, can I have $10 to go hang out with my friends at the mall? Can I, you know, I don't have that anymore. It's actually made my life a lot simpler as well. High school's a really good age for that.
I'm so glad, because I think, oh, did I do that right? And I did. My son, when he was a freshman, because he actually also got his first part-time job. And I said, now you're going to see, you're going to take your money. He was like one of the youngest servers at a local restaurant in town. But I thought that was a good lesson for him. Like, here's your debit card, you know. And of course, what happens in the first week? He loses it. It's like, I made him get on. He had to get on the phone to the bank. He's like, Mom, can you do it? No, I don't. You will do it. You will call the bank, tell them you lost it, and they will cancel it, send you a new card, and you will have to do without until your new card comes. I mean, it doesn't spend that much, you know, so it was not like, you know, if I lost mine, but it was still a good lesson for him. So he's been very responsible with
lesson.
It. Yeah, he's been very
those
responsible.
Those are the kind of lessons you want your kids Yeah, and those are the kind of lessons you want your kids to learn when they're at home with you, not when they first go to college, they've left the house,
right,
and now they're trying to figure out how to manage money, and, oh, look at this shiny credit card, you know. This
right.
is the way to teach your kids when they're at home with you. My son, I'll give you a funny example. He had had his card for about 3 months, and he decided he wanted to buy something on Amazon, some clothes or something, and he had spent all of his money, and he had still had 2 weeks left before he would get any more money, and he didn't like it. So he returned it, and he had to wait, you know, the 5 to 7 days it takes mm-hmm. for the money to get back into your account. And the whole time, he's like, Mom, can I have some money? Mom, can I? You know, I'm like, no. You know, like, mm-hmm. that's just part of life. You have to wait till the return goes through. Next time you'll think before you spend all your money on one eye, you know. So, but it was
right.
just a good life lesson for him to learn outside of not being on his own, you know, being at home
right.
where the consequences aren't huge. You know, they're painful enough to hopefully remind them of that pain when they become young adults and they have to make these decisions where they can be bigger consequences.
Again, I applaud your first comment, which is that in January is probably a good time to do it. Have a conversation about your finances with your whoever pays the bills, if it's yourself or somebody else in your house. Any other tips or resources you would recommend for us and even for ourselves
yeah.
and our daughters?
Yeah, I definitely am. And kind of, I will be biased. I mean, obviously, Northwestern Mutual has some phenomenal resources. Our website's great. We actually have a consumer website that allows you to have all of your finances online. It's pretty amazing. It's like mint.com, but much more thorough, and allows you to have your banking online, you know, any, you know, 401ks, anything you have through work, access to that. You can create a budget on it. So it's a really great resource. I think the other resource that people don't use enough is just a basic library. There are some great books, how to, you know, invest for dummies, how to budget for dummies. I know those sound silly and rudimentary, but they're actually really good books because they give you a real basic understanding. And then if you want to dig deeper, they actually give you another list of books that you can go to. But I would definitely start with our website's great. And then if you want to read something, I would definitely, you know, use the library and use those resources and the dummy type. Those books are really good
yeah.
basic starting point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a great place to start. Thank you so much for joining us. And your website is northwesternmutual.com. Thank you so much, Maribel, for joining us. And when we come back after a quick break, we're joined by Neil Godfrey, New York Times bestselling author. We'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I'm pleased to welcome Neil Godfrey. Neil is a number one New York Times bestselling author of 27 books about money and value issues. So we keep the conversation going about money. And she's the founder of the Children's Financial Network and all kinds of, and she's a frequent guest on Oprah, GMA, Today. Contributing to Huffington Post. What a resume. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Neil.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you have a new website. Do I see this in the notes?
I do. It's called neilgodfrey.com.
And Neil is N-E-A-L-E, Godfrey, just for our listeners' sake. And we will also have that listed on momtalkradio.com. So you've had a lot of experience dealing with all kinds of different topics, actually. But what's you like to talk about working moms dealing with mommy guilt. So you've had a lot of experience with that. Give us your biggest takeaway with that topic.
The biggest takeaway, as you know, I was a mom. My kids are older now, but single mom, working mom. We always, you know, we're stuck with the guilt. It stays with us. And my biggest takeaway on that, right? I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
crazy. But the fact of the matter is, don't listen to it. Ask the guilt to leave the room because it doesn't help anything. The biggest takeaway for me, the biggest advice is be in the moment. When you're at work, be at work. When you're at home, be at home. Obviously, at work, if there's an emergency, they have to get you. But you know, put the screen away when you're home. The kids see you glancing down and saying, oh, yeah, I'm at the lacrosse game, but I'm actually doing work. Be there.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
Okay. So be present. I get that's a great tip. And then so your kids are older. Did you as a single mom, that was a lot. Did you have help or was, you know, how did that work as the kids grew up actually when they were younger? I feel like that's the hardest part of, you know, being a working mom and juggling, you know, the school and the activities and all that kind of thing.
I did have help, and I was fortunate enough to have live-in help, and I needed it because with my job, both as an executive at Chase Manhattan Bank and also as president of a bank in New York City, I had to do a lot of travel. I never knew quite when the meetings were going to be held, and I had to be there. But, you know, your first job, your first love is your kids, but you have to make sure that they're taken care of, they're provided for, and that somebody is there. And you know what? I explained to the kids, I can't be there. I love and adore you, but I can't be in two places, and please understand.
Right. And you know what? Maria has said this too, and I've always agreed with her. You're also setting a great example of just being a career woman, which is also, that's a great thing to do too. So you shouldn't feel guilty about that, you know, as much as you are working really hard and making a living for them. So, what's your perspective? So let's just switch to today's topic, which is the Me Too movement and sexual harassment. What's your take on that?
Unfortunately, a lot of us who were the trailblazers, I became one of the first female executives in banking in 1972 when Chase Manhattan Bank decided to train a few of us, and I did rise through the ranks. I was sexually harassed all the time. It sort of became a systemic thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew in those days I could not open my mouth. If I did, I would have been fired. And there wasn't even a question that that would happen. What makes me sad is that, you know, here when we open our eyes in 2018, not that much has changed. We do have the words affirmative action, which we never had there. But there's so many people, including our HR departments, who are kind of complicit in this whole thing. So Me Too is not enough. I have started and am starting, and I need help, a Now What movement. Let's take it to now what do we do? How do we move forward, men and women, to create that safe, generative workforce where leaders can be not only protective of their talent, but also generative, that they can be the people who are the mentors and the advisors and the ones who are bringing the next gen, and not the ones who feel, hey, I'm the leader, you're not, I own you, I can do what I want, I can take what I want. That's not the definition of a leader. So I'm trying to shift that dynamic. And in fact, I have a Now What section on my website, neilgodfrey.com. I want people to contribute. I want to hear ideas. Together, we can change this paradigm.
That's wonderful. Hashtag Now What. And a lot of our listeners are on social media. So that's awesome. What a great, and you know, I am somewhat a contemporary, and I remember, and they have said that in the last few weeks, that a lot of women, you couldn't lose your job. What were you going to do? In other words, you didn't have the power to say or do anything without threat of losing a job or fear of that. And especially as a single mom, what are you going to do? I mean, it's a big topic. I know we could spend a whole show on that, right?
It deserves that attention. We have to have to talk about how we change it.
No doubt. So hashtag Now What. Excellent. NeilGodfrey.com, N-E-A-L-E, Godfrey.com. Thank you so much for joining us. And when we'll take a quick break, we're then joined by Dr. Keisha Gaither. She is a board certified OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine specialist. We'll be right back.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
To round out this fantastic episode of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Keisha Gaither. She is a double board certified physician in OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Gaither.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you have an OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine. When it comes to, maternal health, is there a disparity in statistics between women's death rates?
There is. Among the perinatal arena, I would say African-American women and Latina women, but particularly African-American women, seem to be having a hard time with mortality rates, pretty much, depending on where you are, reaching those levels in the third world. So it's a question as to really what is really going on here, because it encompasses all demographic strata. So it's not just impoverished women. It's women along all monetary strata.
Right. And what is it that do you know, or is there research out there that says what is leading to this disparity? And what can we do? What's the solution?
You know, I think it's multifactorial. I think that some of it comes from delayed prenatal care. Some of it comes from being, you know, in places where the physicians might not necessarily see the types of pathologies that are coming in. Some of it might have to do with, you know, poor dietary habits. I mean, I think it's just multifactorial.
What can women, pregnant women, do? Because I think it also, obviously, if there's at-risk pregnancies, they lead to more premature birth risk, correct?
Exactly. Well, what I think is the best thing is if there is a woman who wishes to become pregnant and she has any underlying comorbidity, such as hypertension, diabetes, sickle cell anemia, it is best to see your doctor before you conceive in order to get whatever underlying issues that you may have under control before you get pregnant, because what you have, your baby is going to end up being affected by it. If you're an uncontrolled diabetic, you're putting your baby at risk for a whole host of things that, you know, if you're controlled, won't necessarily come to play. So that is my best advice. When it comes to nutrition, I think that there are some things that moms can do to help during the process of conception. One of them is, of course, to take folic acid to prevent neural tube defects. But another thing that I think is also helpful for a number of reasons is vitamin D supplementation. For whatever reason, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that African Americans and people of color don't make vitamin D as readily as Caucasian people.
Okay.
So their vitamin D levels are low. And if you add this to the fact that there's a high concentration of people of color in cities where, you know, you're living in tall buildings, you're taking
not getting outside, right?
Exactly. You're not getting outside mm-hmm. to have that sunlight to help in the production of vitamin D, which, by the way, is made in our skin. You're at an increased risk. Now, vitamin D can confer a number of benefits for you. If you're deficient, you're at risk for cardiovascular issues, you're at risk for depression. And if you're pregnant, you know, there has been a correlation with vitamin D deficiency and the increased incidence of preterm labor. And as mm-hmm. we know, preterm labor is one of the conditions that contribute to, you know, adverse perinatal morbidity and mortality. So,
right.
you know, taking your vitamin D might be helpful. Now, how do you know whether you're not deficient? You can ask your doctor to check it, or there are websites where you can actually purchase a kit. And one of the good websites is nutrientpower.org. And it's helpful to, you know, take a look at that site. It has a lot of information on vitamins and deficiencies, and you can purchase your kit there. And in addition, you know, can, if you elect, to be part of a survey looking at vitamin D levels throughout the country. So I think that's a
interesting. So nutrientpower.org, I'm going to give the websites really quick. And your website is KeishaGaither.com. I'm going to spell that KeishaGaither. Thank you so much for joining us. And this is such an important topic for moms and prospective moms out there. And I think too, I'm not sure if we have time, but a prenatal vitamin, if it has enough vitamin D in it, is that typically across the board that a prenatal vitamin would, or would you have to take that to a doctor and see if the level of vitamin D is acceptable? In other words, a prenatal vitamin that covers a lot of different nutrients and vitamins.
Generic ones typically have a certain small percentage of vitamin D, but it's helpful to find out what your level is, particularly if you're a person of color and living in a city. That's very helpful.
Gotcha. So you might need to take an additional vitamin D. Got it. Okay. So thank you so much again for joining us, Dr. Gaither. And thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Mom Talk Radio. Our guests will be on the archive show available at momtalkradio.com next week. See you next week for another great show.